Well, Happy New Year's, everyone. How many of you have ever done a New Year's resolution? How many, double hand, have had a failed? I think I can put my both feet in there. I have done so many New Year's resolutions. I've had grand ideas of getting up an hour earlier and doing my Bible study or clean the house or do something. And kids get up several times a night, and after a couple weeks, that one's done. Or you want to eat healthier food, and then you start craving all those sweets. So I just don't think the statistics of New Year's resolutions are in our favor. But today I want to challenge us with a new word. And that it's a different way of thinking. And today I want to talk about renewal. And renewal is a word to kind of express what God's ideas for us to change in our lives are, and not just our grand ideas. Let's start with prayer first. Lord, we thank you for being here. I thank you for the worship. I thank you that we can draw close to you. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for a heart of renewal over us. Lord, that we would have a mind after you. And so, Lord, I ask for you. Just spiritual ears to hear and eyes to see what you want for us, Lord. And may we know what your voice is for us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at what renewal is, the definition, before we start. There's several passages that talk about renewal or being renewed. And renewal means to be renovated, to make new, to hasten, to change, to alter, to rebuild. So all those are in the definitions of renewal. And when I was thinking about renewal and the word renovate, I kind of started thinking about my house when I was growing up. As soon as I finished kindergarten, my family moved into my great-grandmother's house and my great-grandfather's house, too. And it had been, I guess, abandoned for several years before my parents decided to buy it. I remember as a little kid going in there and being terrified of this house because there's junk all in there. I guess all the family decided it was abandoned. They could put their stuff in there. Literally, there was bats and birds flying around. Parts of the ceiling were coming down. It was just a mess. But my family decided to keep it in the family. And so what my father had to do was he had to take it room by room, and he had to renovate this house. And one of the things I remember as a kid, I don't know how often we did it, but we children would go in and we would take hammers or whatever, and we'd smash the walls in as high as we could, and then we'd throw the debris out. And there was no insulation in this house. And so what we would do is we would just tear it down until we got to the bare walls, and then my father would come home and he'd redo, you know, finish tearing the house, the room down, and put in insulation and put the walls up. And that went on from room to room. And so what we had was really a house that wasn't even functioning. It had no running water in the bathrooms when we first got there, to becoming a house that became a home to us. It was functioning. It was worthy of living in. And it provided us comfort, warmth, and it functioned. And the reason I give you this, I want to put that picture in your head, is because I think that's what God's saying when he's talking about renewal to us. There's things within us that don't function very well. They're not working like they're supposed to. And God wants us to tear it down and build it up with what he wants it to be like. He sees a picture of what our house is going to be like after we're done. And I think that's what he's telling us. Well, in the Bible, there's a man that had to do his own renovation. He had to go through the process of renewal. And his name was Gideon. And we're going to find him in Judges 6. So as I'm talking, you can turn there if you have your Bibles. And in Judges 6, it starts out telling us that the Israelites were sinning once again. They were worshiping Baal, and so God sends the Midianites. What the Midianites were doing is they were coming in and they were raiding the country, and they were taking all the crops, they were taking the animals, they were killing everything that they saw, if they couldn't take it, and they were destroying everything. So there was nothing left when the Midianites were done. And so Israelites' response was to hide, was to fear, and then eventually they were calling out to God. And so what we do is we find that God responds to them, and he shows up, and he shows up with Gideon. And I'm going to read in chapter 6 of Judges, and I'm going to start in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of the Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But, sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." I want to stop there. The first words out of God's mouth is, "Hey, hi, mighty warrior." Well, I don't know about you, but the fact of Gideon hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, is not the act of what I see as a mighty warrior. And I don't think Gideon sees it too, because the first thing he does is he wants to ignore God's comments about him being a mighty warrior, and he tries to sidestep God, and he talks about how God has abandoned them, and he's sidetracking him. Well, God doesn't buy into the complaining, and he gets Gideon back onto what he wants to talk about. So my question for you today is, do you see yourselves as a mighty warrior? Or like Gideon, are you hiding in fear? Are you hiding from the things, maybe you see things that limit you? Maybe you're even hesitant to step out in. You know, when God called Gideon as a mighty warrior, he wasn't seeing where Gideon was at that moment, hiding in the wine press. He saw beyond that, and he saw what Gideon was going to be. And that's what God sees. He sees what we can be, what we will be when he calls us. God may be calling you to do something right now that you cannot possibly even see yourself doing that. And it's even hard for you to respond to God's call. Maybe you're even trying to convince him otherwise. For myself, I did the same thing. I remember the time when the Lord spoke to me about coming up here and teaching. I don't want to repeat the conversation that I had with the Lord, but it's something went like this. "Are you off your rockers? You know, it's me, the one that gets red from her neck to the top of her head, who is so embarrassed to speak to anybody in a group. You know, I'd have to read line by line." That was where I was at when the Lord was calling me. And so week by week, he would impress upon me, "I want you to go tell Pastor Lanny, I want you to be teaching." And I would say, "No way, I'm not doing it." And I would sit there and I would sidetrack God with all my excuses. And God didn't give up on me. He was seeing something beyond what I could see myself. So finally, one week, I decided that I would obey God, and I came up to Pastor Lanny after one Sunday morning service, and literally, in tears, I blubbered out to him, "I think God wants me to be teaching." And you know, Lanny, he put his arm around me, patted me a little bit, and said, "Okay, we'll see what we can do." Well, I went away that week truly convinced that I was off the hook. I did what God wanted me to. I did not have to do anything more. Maybe he'd have me read a couple books on teaching, and maybe in a year, I would be ready. I would have all my ducks in a row. I really, honestly think it was a week or two before Lanny called me and said, "So, when are we getting you on the preaching schedule?" Well, I know Lanny and God were having a chuckle that day, but I was terrified. But God was really with me, and I know he saw more in me than I did, and I know he still sees more in me than I do myself. Well, I want to point out a key verse, and I underlined it in my Bible because it really, I feel, is important, and it's in verse 14 of Judges 6. And it says, God's saying, go in the strength that you have. Am I not sending you? And I think that that is so important, that when God impresses upon us something that we cannot see ourselves, we have to remember what God's words are. We are only to go in the strength that we have because God is sending us. We don't need to have to be a mighty warrior that everyone around us recognizes us then to be called out. We're only to go in the strength that we have. That's it. Nothing more. Unfortunately, there are attacks that come upon us in our mind and things that Satan wants to give us that stop us from hearing or responding to the call. And I want to show you a book. So I took two of the things from Joyce Meyer's book. It's an excellent book. It's called Battlefield of the Mind. She speaks on many different things that we come across. But I want to talk about two that I think Gideon displayed here, and I think that really hits us, particularly when we're called to be renewed in what God wants us. The first thing that we come across the mental battle is doubt. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Word sees doubt as in a verb form, and it says to stand in two ways. It's implying an uncertainty of which way to take. It's being anxious. It's being distracted. And what we're doing is we're wavering between hope and fear. We're hoping for the things that God's saying, but we're so afraid of going out because we see our limitations. 1 Kings 18:21 talks about this, and it says, how long will you limp and halt between two decisions? See, when doubt comes into our mind, we're almost like a debilitated or we're an injured person. We're just struggling to go down to the path of God, and we're stopping and we're starting and we're wavering between what we're supposed to be doing and what God's calling us on. So we're very ineffective in our course of following God. Gideon was also doing the same thing. He was in doubt. He's hiding in a wine press. He's telling God that he's the lowest in the tribe and the lowest in his family. So when we have doubt, it's very debilitating. Take praying, for example. We know that we're supposed to be praying for people. We're supposed to be healing. Maybe you want to be healed. And we're doing something like this. Wow, someone's coming up for me to pray for me. I don't know if I can do it. Well, God's saying we have the power of God, the resurrected power of God in us. But, you know, I've done it before and it hasn't happened. I don't know if I want to pray for people. I don't know if I want to lay my hands on them and not have it because then they're going to be disappointed. So we go on and on, and the doubt comes and we're hesitant to step out. Maybe we're hesitant to be a prayer warrior or even a children's church minister because, hey, I don't know, it's been a while since I've spoken with kids. I don't know if I can relate to them, but God's calling me to this. I don't know. So we're wavering with what we're supposed to be doing and the doubts that we have. When God is calling us out of our limitations to be mighty warriors, Satan's right there to combat us with doubt. And he's whispering us. So we have to do battle with what Satan is whispering to us. Well, how do we do that? The only thing I know is to battle it with the Word of God. We have to know what God's Word says for us to go against the lies. Marilyn Dickerson had taught me a principle that I've used and is so effective, and I want to share it with you. She taught me that when the enemy comes, she will go into a room by herself or in her car whenever the doubt hits her, and she combats all her doubts, all that whispering, out loud. And she declares the Word of God out loud. So what she says and what happens is when you say it out loud, you're actually hearing yourself saying the words of God. You're convincing yourself that these are the whispers of lies of Satan. And so what we do is it heals our halting, our limping, and it sets us back on a course of God. So it would go something like this. I'm hesitant to step out and be up here and preach, but it says, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Saying, I know my plans. I know the plans that the Lord has. He will prosper me. He will give me hope, and I will stand firm in that. You will not take my hope away. I will stand on the path of the Lord. For it says that you are a liar in John 8:44. That he is the devil, and he speaks his native language, and he is a liar, and the father of lies. Satan, you have been giving me lies, and I will not hear it. I will not stand for it. It says in Judges 6 that I only have to go in the strength that I have. And I have to do no more, for he is sending me. See, when we say those things out loud to ourselves, we all of a sudden have the power of God coming back to our ears, and we can stand against the doubt. The second thing that we have is unbelief. We can't believe the things that is being impressed upon us that God's called us out to. The Strong's Concordance translates unbelief as being disobedient. We see this in Mark 6:6. Jesus is going into his own hometown, and he's there to minister, and he can only lay hands on a few sick people, and that's all. Why? In verse 6, it says it's because of their lack of faith. And lack of faith is translated here as unbelief. They just can't believe it. When God calls us out and we say no, we may feel it. Oh, I just don't have enough faith to step out. I'm just not strong enough. Really what we're being is disobedient to God's call in our life. When we get into this junction, we have to remind ourselves that God has called us into things that we can't see, but he does. He sees what we will be capable of when we have the Lord, and we go in his strength. That's it. Nothing more. First step, just go in the strength that you have with God. Disobedience and unbelief in a situation can simply mean giving up when God is pressing you on. It's not that we don't have faith. It's just that Satan's trying to destroy our faith with lies. And the second time I came up here to the pulpit to speak, I felt it went lousy. I was hit with the unbelief that I was actually called to be teaching. I went home. I literally called in bed, put the covers over my head, and then Satan started whispering those lies. Oh, you're so bad. The people at church were probably going, why is she even up here? What is she doing? It was terrible. I shouldn't do it. I'm not very effective. And on and on and on. And I just was agreeing with it. Well, fortunately, I went back to the Word of God. I went back to the Word that I knew that God had given me. And I didn't call Pastor Lanny and say, thank you very much. Don't ever call me again. I just learned to rely more and more on God and less on me. So let's go back to Gideon. We find that Gideon keeps talking with God, and he offers a sacrifice to God. God consumes it and disappears. And then we're going to look, and I'm going to read in Judges 6 and verse 24. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the Lord is Peace. To this day it stands in Ophir of the Ebrozites. That same night the Lord said to him, take a second bull of your father's herd, the one of 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself if someone breaks down to his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him, because he had broken down Baal's altar. Now all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew his trumpet and summoning the Ebersites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So they too went up to meet him. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you promised, look, I will place the wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung it out in the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test of the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. There are several things that I want to point out that I listed. There are Gideon's steps of becoming the mighty warrior that he needed to be. The first thing that God asks Gideon to do is to remove his father's altar to Baal. He needs to get the sin out of his family's life. So the first thing we see is Gideon is obedient. When Gideon's obedient, renewal came about. Renewal is tearing down the old and building the new. Gideon not only had to tear down Baal's altar and the Asher pole, but he also had to build a new altar for the Lord. He also had to internally tear down the things, the sins of his life, and dedicate himself anew to the Lord. There's things that we need to do too. We need to tear out our sins, our fears, and we need to put back in the things of the Lord, the things that he wants us to rebuild into our lives. And these things can be internally and externally. It's just the things that are more important to you than God's become. The other thing that happened with God, with Gideon's obedience, is that he got a name change. When the people found out what Gideon had done, they named him Jerubbaal. Another translation is Baal Fighter. Now, not only was it a name change, because we find in chapter 7 that they actually start calling them this, but it was a life-changing name. He stopped the Israelites from worshiping Baal during his whole lifetime. So it not only affected that day, his life completely changed with that. Sometimes we get our own name change. Sometimes we become the passionate preacher, the mighty intercessor, the great children's church leader. There are many names that we can become, and it not only affects ourselves, but it affects the people around us, because we are doing what God has called us to, and we have that name change. Another thing that Gideon had to do, another step, was he had to step out when he was fearful. He had a right to be fearful because the men that were worshiping Baal would have killed him if they'd seen it. And he was afraid, but he still stepped out, even in his fear. And we need to do the same thing. Before we're even a strong and fearless warrior, sometimes the first thing we need to do is just step out in faith. First time I ever came up here, I was terrified. But I will tell you, the process gets easier and easier the more you go into God's call. The other thing that Gideon did was he had to make a public declaration. It says in verse 34 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He blew his trumpet. He called tribes to come and be with him. He dedicated himself as being the leader. He stepped up and told everyone, this is what I was going to do. We need not just to think in our heads, oh, God wants me to be, you know, a preacher or an intercessor or this. We need to make a public declaration to someone to say, hey, this is what I believe is the call of God in my life. We need to step up in faith and say, I'm declaring it today. The other thing Gideon had to do was he asked for reassurance. You know, sometimes when we step out in faith, we still need a little reassurance. And God did that to Gideon when Gideon asked them to make the fleece wet and then dry. But I really want to point out something about that fleece. The reassurance came after Gideon was obedient. See, he called out his army first. He already made a commitment to be a leader. He was going to attack the Midianites with whoever came. It was a done deal. He could not go back on it, but he needed some reassurance. Sometimes what we do is we put our fleece out first. We put out, I want a sign, God. And then we wait miserably and no sign is given because we haven't even been obedient to the call of God. We haven't even started saying, I'm obedient. I'm already in it. I'm already going to do it. Reassurance comes after obedience. And God will show his reassurance to us in many different ways. We find, too, Gideon has to continue his obedience against all odds. In chapter 7, 32,000 men show up for the arm to fight the Midianites and the others that have joined them. And God says, those numbers are way too great. You're going to take all the credit yourself. So God, through a series of things, whittles it down to 300 men. And they go out and fight, and the victory is theirs. See, Gideon still needed to be obedient, even when the numbers weren't so great, when the odds weren't in their favor. We need to do the same thing. It's easy to join a fight once it's been established and once there's all the other mighty leaders and they're already doing it. But sometimes it's really difficult when the Lord calls you out to do something new that you've never experienced, that there's no one else there to kind of support you. When I was just out of college, I was in my 20s, I had a roommate named Stephanie. She also was in her 20s. And she had the call from God to start a pregnancy care center here down in Southern Maryland. So there was a small band of us 20-something-year-olds that said, yes, we will join you. And I think Prague and maybe two other churches said, okay, we'll help you out with what we can do. And let me tell you, when we first started out, it seemed overwhelming. It seemed like this is way too big for us to do. But we kept plugging on because we knew that Stephanie had heard the call of God and we were going to be obedient to that. Well, today it's so successful. We have a pregnancy care center not only in St. Mary's County, but in Calvert County. We meet the needs of hundreds of young girls and women and many more people joined the cause as we were pursuing the call of God. But it all started because one young girl in her 20s said, yes, I will follow God's call. And I will say that he never forsake her and he will not forsake you. Through Gideon's process, he became a confident, mighty leader. Israel had peace under his leadership, and he kept them from worshiping Baal, which was his call. In summary, Gideon started out as a man who had fears that we can all identify with time to time. But God, when God spoke, he asked Gideon to change, not only internally, but things externally in his life. He had to break away from the idols within and from the sins of his family. But those who step out in obedience will have Satan right there trying to attack them with doubt, fear. And we have to do these battles with the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that can anchor us, to keep us strong. And Gideon remained obedient and became a confident, mighty leader that God saw in him. So what's God's call for you today for renewal? What's God been speaking to you about? Your first step is obedience. You don't have to be a mighty leader. You just have to go in the strength that you have, and that's it. So what's God asking you? Sometimes there are great tasks that he's asking us of, and there's few resources. But the glory will be God's. If you're putting your fleece out before saying yes, you probably will wait miserably before that sign comes. You need to be obedient and say yes to God's call. And then you'll have him reassure you time and time again. God's word and obedience is always the right direction to take. And I'm going to close in just a minute, but I want to put in a plug in for the women's luncheon, because I'm going to be speaking in about 2 weeks. I'm also going to be speaking about renewal. I'm going to be continuing this on family and personally, how we can be renewed in our mind, our body, and our spirit. So you men, if you want to know more about it, you have to have your women come and take notes for you. But I encourage you to come, because it's very exciting what the Lord has shown me in renewing ourselves to the Lord. So I'd like you to stand as I close, and I'd like the worship team to come up. This year, the legacy and the gathering is going to be speaking on having a deeper relationship with God. Sorry. And by developing personal disciplines in your life, today is a really good time to find out where God wants you to be, where the renewal process in your life has to be. So where has God been challenging you lately? What's your response then to him? My hope is that we all hear God's voice to us this year, and that we respond to the call of God. If you feel like God's been talking to you about getting rid of something in your life, maybe there's a sin, maybe there's an altar you built that's not of the Lord, today might be a good day just to come up and spend time with the Lord, to confess it, to try and get rid of the things that you know the Lord doesn't want there. If you've been in a time where God has been speaking to you and you've been hesitant, I don't want to do this, I encourage you to come up and get prayed for today so that we can share God's word with you, we can pray over you, that this would be the day of you declaring and saying yes. I'll say yes to God today. You may be saying yes, and you may be getting hit with battles of doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety. We can pray for you, we can encourage you, we can ask the Lord to strengthen you as you proceed in your battles to do what God wants. If for those who aren't coming forward, as they're worshiping today for the next few minutes, just take some time and just where you're standing there or sit there, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? What have I not been hearing? Take some time and just spend with the Lord, and I promise you, he will show you what he wants in your life, where you need to be renewed. So for those, please make your way up. And for those on the altar ministry, please come so that we can have people, make yourself available to pray for others. And for those who feel like this has been a message for you, I'd ask that you just make your way up and spend some time with the Lord. Thank you. A consuming fire.